Welcome to the Can It Cook podcast. We hope you'll be encouraged to have an I'm third approach as you navigate family, leadership, and spiritual growth. If you're new to our conversation, welcome. It's so great to have you. Let's jump in.
And welcome again to the Can It Cook podcast. I am so excited about today's podcast. In a minute, you're going to meet our special guest, and I think you're going to fall in love with her as I have fallen in love with her over and over again as the years have gone by. My co-host Beth Ann is away with the Can It Cook Institute on a trip, but I'm here with a really cool person, a person who I admired as a child growing up because of the way she carried herself, because of the way she followed Christ and prioritized her relationship with the Lord throughout her childhood, but now especially as a parent. I like the way this young lady parents her kids. It's my oldest daughter, Jamie Jo, and we're going to be talking about parenting today. We're going to be talking about the bruises, the tears, the fall on your face, failures, the laughter, a lot about the memories. But today we hope we can touch the heart of moms and dads, future moms and dads, grandparents, anybody listening who works with kids. We hope today will be helpful in your journey as a parent. Jamie Jo, welcome to the Can It Cook podcast.
Thank you. It's really good to be here.
So we had some adventures in our home. I know our home was half loony most of the time, but we had some adventures, Jay. What are some of your memories about your childhood in our goofy home?
I think when I look back, the things that stand out the most to me, for sure, growing up traveling with camp, I got to travel showing the movies with camp with y'all. Oh, and setting up the shows and tearing down the shows and just really feeling like a little helper. I really felt like I was a big helper. That was probably my favorite memory of everything.
So you started traveling with us when you were like 6 weeks old.
Yes.
And so Debbie Jo and I, of course, in those days, we were on the road a lot recruiting all the campers and counselors. And so we didn't have a choice like staying home. It was like get on the road and make Can It Cook happen. But as I recall, Jamie, I don't know if anybody really knows this. It may sound horrible, but, you know, we were in these little one-room motel rooms night after night after night. And, you know, there wasn't really a place for a baby bed. And so we would actually put down a little mattress in the bathtub. We made your bed in the bathtub as a little kid. I'm sure you don't remember that.
I don't, thankfully.
But it was pretty awful.
You got to tell them about the Holiday Inn sign.
Oh, my gosh. So we go from Holiday Inn to Holiday Inn. In those days, Holiday Inn was about the only show on the strip. But so they had this big, colorful sign. And I don't know if you were like 2 years old or one or something. But we pulled up into our like 39th straight Holiday Inn night. And Jamie looked up at the Holiday Inn sign. And she goes, "Mom and Dad, we're home." And Debbie Jo goes, "It's time to go home. We've traveled too long."
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I only remember the great about it. I also remember Sundays in the gym. You know, Mom liked to watch football, and she liked to watch football in peace. And so you would take us all out of the house and to the girls' gym to play war ball or tag or something. And those times were really fun.
Oh, my goodness. So we had four kids. Of course, they were 2 years apart. Bang, 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 bang. Except one, Brady sandwiched in there like a year or something.
Yeah, Brady and Courtney are 13 months.
Yeah, that deal. So we were pretty tight. We had four teenagers at one time. And parents, we survived four teenagers at one time, barely. But anyway, Peanut, now you've got grown kids of your own. Boy, I love your kids, Jay. You got five kids, two adopted from Rwanda, and aren't they just adorable kids, Gabby and Tiki, and then you have three biological kids, and man, do I ever like those kids. But growing up in our house was filled with love and laughter and some pain and honestly a whole lot of tears. What did you take with you as a mom from our chaotic home?
I think the biggest thing that I took away is well, back then we used to call it forced family fun. And I took that with me, ironically, because I guess with that name, we maybe thought it was a little bit negative, but it was great enough that that's what I took with me. I love doing adventures with my kids. I think I also took away with me jumping on their dreams and believing in their dreams more than even they do. You did that with me, and we talked about it on a podcast before with my clothing line. But just whatever the kids want to do, believe in it. And so I think those were the two biggies that I took away from your example.
Yeah, Peanut. And listeners, I've always called her Peanut, so I still do. That's okay. Yeah, I remember when y'all were little bitty, and I was driving to St. Louis, and I saw a billboard on the highway, and it was a quote by Oscar Wilde, the great writer, and it said, "Kids love home when home is the funnest place to be." And that impacted me. And so I treated our kids like they were Kennecuck special programs night. And so we planned all kind of adventures. We called them mystery trips. And at night, we would just take off. And, you know, Debbie Jo's a little bit more consistent than I am. She sort of tolerated it. But I'd throw the kids in the car, and we'd take off for a trip to get a hot fudge sundae, or a trip to get some French fries, or a trip to go play video games or something. And Debbie Jo and the kids sort of laughed at me sometimes. They call it forced family fun. But I was undeterred. We continued with our mystery trips night after night. And now Jamie's the forced family fun expert of her family.
Mine are a little more than hot fudge sundaes. Our forced family fun looked a lot like weekend road trips. I got to raise my kids in Durango, Colorado, and everything was 5 hours or less. So the Grand Canyon or Moab or whatever, we hopped in the car, threw the bikes on the back, and we just went. I think our two favorite memories. One summer I took all five kids on the Amtrak from Denver to San Francisco, and we got to spend the night on the Amtrak and everything. And that was a fantastic memory that I think the kids actually even agree. I think it's the only one the kids agree that it was a fantastic memory. So that was really special getting to share that with them. And then my other very favorite one that none of the kids agree with me. They would all say it was maybe the worst thing we ever did. But I took my three littles caving one year, and we spent the night in a cave. And it was, oh man, it was fantastic. Right at the beginning of the trip, I fell and I thought I broke my arm. And so the three little ones, who were all in middle school at the time, had to like help each other through the cave because one of my kids is claustrophobic and I couldn't help because I was in a lot of pain, and they helped one another. And it was literally the best time ever. And I know that one day it's going to be far down the road, they will look back and also think maybe that was a great weekend.
Yeah, I've always admired your spirit of adventure. I know that we did a lot of crazy things together, canoeing and caving and things. And you took off and became that kind of adventuresome mom yourself. You have no boundaries, Jamie. You'll just take off and do anything with your kids. And I think that's one of the reasons why your kids love you so much, even through a lot of the bruises and bumps that every family has. But you've learned how to invest in your kids, to take whatever time, trouble, and whatever change was in the piggy bank to go off and do things with your kids. But Jamie, Gary Smalley used to talk about doing things like camping with your kids. And he said it was not so much the camping adventures, but it was the failures that would happen when the tent would fall in, when kids were overstressed, and when they would start fighting, and just how all the quote-unquote failures along the way that ended up great opportunities for conflict resolution, great opportunities to get to know each other better, and great opportunities to learn how to listen to each other better, especially when times are difficult. Talk about what you've learned in the area of listening to your children.
Yeah, I think, you know, and yeah, growing up wasn't all roses. It was a lot of roses, but as any family has, you know, there were bumps. And I think one of the bumps for me was I didn't always feel heard or free to disagree. And a lot of that's my personality type. I'm a people pleaser. And so I'm going to take everything that way. And thankfully, as an adult, I can look back and see my role in that. But I, you know, didn't feel heard and didn't feel like I had a voice sometimes. And so I really wanted to go into parenting, letting my kids have a voice and letting my kids feel heard. And ironically, as I've walked through my kids who are all grown up now, through counseling with my children, one of my sons had the opportunity to go to a therapy rehab trauma center. And we did some family counseling and I got to fill out this piece of paper for my childhood and kind of what my baggage was. And one of it was that, not feeling heard. And he filled out a piece of paper separately, unbeknownst to me, what his baggage was, and it matched. And that was really eye-opening for me to realize that my goal going into parenting was to make them feel heard, and none of them feel heard. And walking through that with my youngest, who's still in the house, that, you know, they don't feel like they have a voice. And so just coming to grips with how I did not do a good job in that and getting to fix it as they are adults, which is great. It's not the end of the road, but reflecting and going, wow, I did the same thing, you know, and we do what we know, I think maybe, but how do I move forward into adulthood with my kids and into the rest of my senior year with my youngest and stop and listen? And how do I give them the space when they already have me pigeonholed as one who doesn't listen, you know, to step back and say, no, I really am going to listen. And that's been hard and humbling and bewildering, you know, to find that out and move forward. But, yeah.
Yeah. Jay, I think every parent, has had the same challenge, the same issues, to help a 3-year-old or an 18-year-old, feel like they had a voice, feel like their voice mattered. And just on a practical sense for moms and dads, parents, I found out growing up with my boys and me being the male in the family and being, you know, the father, it was easier with the boys. But we had this habit that I've talked about before, and if you're feeling like Jamie does and like I did at times, especially with my girls, that your kids do need to be heard, and you want to put in some practices, some practical day-to-day practices that open up your kids' heart so they feel safe with you and they feel like they can talk and you are a safe place to express some of their deepest emotions with, you might take note. I had this habit of lay-by times with the boys, and I found as a dad in a very active, nutty home with four kids and with work being very overbearing a lot of the time, that the only time my boys were still was when they crawled in bed at night. The rest of the time there was something going on in the house. But when they crawled in bed at night, they were still and they were quiet. And so when I wasn't traveling, I had this habit of tucking them in bed. And whether you want to stand by the bed or sit on the bed, I would lay on my back in the bed and they would crawl over me and lay on their back. We'd lay shoulder to shoulder. And I just had a set of questions. And I really, I just encourage you parents to put a practice like this into your home now. It's never too late to start. It's always too early to quit. But I learned through counseling just to ask open-ended questions. And we would lay there side by side, sometimes for 5 minutes, sometimes for half an hour. And I had 5 rules. Don't coach, don't correct, don't criticize, and don't complain. Just listen. And over the years of asking questions like, how was your day? How was football? How was school? And then follow-up questions, moms and dads, like, tell me about that. What's that like for you? How'd that feel to you? And when they gave me a feeling like it was sad or difficult, then a follow-up question will describe that to me. Tell me more about that. I'd love to hear more about that sadness. What's that like for you? And so this would go on for, like I said, for periods of time. And over the years, they found out they could fail. They felt like they could cry. They felt like they could get frustrated that their dad would just listen. And I remember, Jamie, when you went off to college, I was crying so hard it was awful. And as I was walking up that fourth floor of Collins Dormitory at Baylor University, I looked back at 18 years. And Peanut, I was trying to think of something I'd done well. I know in many ways I was a failure as a dad, but I look back at the lay-by times, and I look back at the Bible memory that we did as, you know, tuck-in times happen, and I knew you had God's word painted on your heart. I knew you were going to be okay. But if your home is crazy like ours was, and like Jamie said, and you feel like you want to give your kids more of a voice, tuck-in times at night are irreplaceable for good listening skills, good parenting skills.
Yeah, and then as my kids have gotten to be adults, what I've learned is when they call me with their things, I just try, and because I'm a problem solver, and so I stop and I just say, do you want to be heard, helped, or hugged? And that helps us kind of go into it with the correct expectations also.
So Jay, talk about that a little bit. That is a great question for moms and dads to ask. I've never heard that before. Tell us about that, and how has that produced fruit for you?
Yeah, so, you know, I learned through that, you know, counseling experience with one of my sons that, you know, I just always came in and tried to fix things or whatever, and that was part of what made them not feel heard. And so when I've stepped back, especially with two of them in particular, with one of my daughters, one of my sons, and I just say that because sometimes they do. They just want to get off their chest. My son's like, Mom, you're just the person that I call, you know. So you're always hearing the bad stuff. You know, I'm just telling you. And so it's been great because if they just want to be heard, I get to listen. I get to empathize, and I just get to be there. And it allows them to speak without knowing that I'm not going to jump in, and it allows me just to listen. If they want to be helped, then I get to jump in and, you know, guide them through it and give them scripture or give them suggestions or whatever. And if they just want to be hugged over the phone, that's hard. You know, when they're in person, it can just be a hug. But over the phone, it's kind of heard times more empathy. You know, maybe crying with them or whatever. But that, either the out loud question or just stopping myself and listening for what they're wanting. But in my mind, keeping those helped, heard, or hugged in mind has been very valuable as I've been growing into being a better parent and being a parent of adults.
Yeah, and for every listener who's in a relationship, whether you're married, whether you're single and have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or just a best friend, in all of the marriage counseling that I have done over the years, there is nothing more valuable to a wife or to a husband or to a best friend than this exact subject we're talking about. People's greatest desire is to be heard and understood. And it's so much more important with my wife and I that she feels like she can tell me something and I close my mouth and open my ears and ask similar questions. Tell me how you feel. What's that like for you? And then button my lip and not try to fix what she's saying to me. Husbands and wives that are fixers can shut conversation and can shut intimacy off of their relationship forever if they don't learn how to just listen and ask those simple questions. Describe that to me. I'd love to know more about that. Tell me how that makes you feel when you say something like that. Your spouse may say, I feel frustrated with you. And man, everything inside of you wants to jump on that. It works with a child. It works with a spouse. It works with a friend. But instead of jumping on a feeling that may cause you to rise up in your emotions, just button your lip and go, oh, I had no idea. Tell me what makes you feel that way. Please help me understand more about that. You may lose the battle, but you'll win the war. And the bigger picture, of course, is building intimacy in your relationship with a child, with your spouse, with a best friend. And you do that by not criticizing, condemning, complaining, or fixing. Jay, have you found that to be true with adult friends as well?
Oh, absolutely. And realizing that even if they say, I'm frustrated, and you're like, you shouldn't be, or I didn't do that, or whatever, keeping your mouth shut and letting them have the feeling and knowing that allowing them to have the feeling and you not rebutting isn't you losing. You're winning in friendship and you're hearing something, you're hearing a different perspective. And so, you know, lots of times when you want to rebut, you're like, this is going to make me prove my point right, but I don't have to. I don't have to. Okay. I am so sorry. And then there may be time later in the relationship when you can clear it up or you can whatever. But yeah, it's super important to just stop. And even if the stuff they're saying is wrong or not your intention or whatever, let them have it is so much better than saying, but this is really what I meant. Just two ears, one mouth.
Yeah, I remember one time Debbie Jo and I were in an argument. And I knew I was wrong. I knew I needed to say I'm sorry. And I looked her in the eyes and said, baby, I'm so sorry. And she said, well, I don't feel like you're sorry. And so I remember asking my friend Heather Headley about how do you say you're sorry when someone doesn't feel like you're saying you're sorry. And she told me in Heather Headley candor that I needed to get on my knees, crawl in the door on my hands and knees, and crawl up to her feet and beg her to forgive me. But yeah, that is always, that's a very sincere, baby, I'm so sorry. It's always helpful. Well, Jay, I know my favorite thing about what you've done in your adventuresomeness as a mom is you have adopted these two wonderful kids, Gabby and Tiki, and I would love next week or and I would love the next time we do a podcast to talk about adoption and not just to talk about parenting adoption, but helping others adopt and helping this wonderful process that God has allowed us to do on this planet to adopt children into our homes. So hope you'll show up again, Peanut, and hopefully next time we can talk about adoption. I can't wait to breach that subject with you.
That would be great. Thanks.
Well, Jay, would you close us in prayer, please, and pray for all the parents that are listening to our podcast today.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you that we're your kiddos. Thank you for giving us two ears and one mouth. Thanks for the blessing that kids are. I pray for the parents right now who are parenting, who are struggling or who think they're doing a great job and then find out that they're not in someone else's eyes
or whatever. Just pray that they'll know that you love them and that you love their kids more than they love their kids. And so if it's a time they need to let go of their expectations or let go of their own pride or whatever, and just give their kids to you and just say, God, I trust you because you love my kids more than I ever could. Just pray for the parents that are hurting right now, that you will give them strength and encouragement. Pray for the parents who think they're killing it right now, and I'm so glad that they do. And I pray that all families get to have so much more laughter and so much more fun and just really cherish the moments together because they go fast. Thanks for loving us so much that you, you know, just give us opportunities to feel your love by being parents and loving someone else that much. Amen.
Please subscribe to our podcast today to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If this podcast has helped you in any way, please consider rating us, writing a review, or sharing it with others so we can continue to build you up with an I'm Third approach to family, leadership, and spiritual growth. For more information about the podcast, visit CanacookPodcast.com. And for more information about Canacook, you can visit Canacook.com.